Blog Talk Radio.
I'm born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Are you born to win? Hey, yeah. Are you born to reign in life? You are no ordinary person. You are destined for greatness. Oh, help me say, help me say.
Born to reign,
say.
Born to reign in life.
I am no ordinary person.
I'm no ordinary person.
Whoa, whoa.
I'm dancing for
sing praise. It like you believe it.
Born to reign.
Born to reign.
Born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm dancing for
circumstances may come to challenge me. Situations may come just to end me. But when they turn me to the left and right, they realize that I am the light. When my brothers look at me and despise me, when my sisters tend to mock and reject me, they'll be surprised that I'm standing strong. And I tell them, look, it won't be long, 'cause I'm born to win. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I am no ordinary, ordinary person. No, no. Sing it like you mean it, say. Ooh, na, 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 wo, yo.
I'm
no ordinary, ordinary, no, 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 no.
I'm destined for greatness.
Oh, yes, yes, I am.
You are born to win. Born to reign in life. You're no ordinary person. You are destined, created by God for greatness. Father God, we come to you this morning just to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're not here just because the world says it's Thanksgiving. We know that every day is Thanksgiving. So we come to thank you, God, for, you know, waking us up. We thank you for your love. We thank you most of all for transferring us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. You rescued us, Lord, and we say thank you. Thank you, O God, for Jesus Christ. Jesus, we love you. We honor you this morning. We thank you for coming and dying for us so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Father God, we thank you especially for your word and for the understanding that we're getting of your word. The Bible said you sent your word and it healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And indeed, your word continues to deliver us day after day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the peace it brings. We thank you for the understanding it brings. We thank you for the light that it brings. We thank you, Father God. And we thank you especially for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in our midst this morning. You are our teacher. You are our guide. You are our comforter. And so, Lord, we ask that you will teach us this morning. We ask, oh God, that you would bring to our remembrance whatever we need to know. And to you, Lord, to you, Father God, be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And the church says, amen. Open your mouth now and begin to give God thanks. Every good thing in your life and my life has come from God. Come on, begin to thank him. Thank him for your health, your strength, your vision. His plans for you, your family, your loved ones, give them thanks. Doesn't matter what you're passing through or what you've been through, God is with you in the midst of it. You are more than a conqueror. Thank him for his word. You may not understand it all yet, but thank him for his word. You're learning about it, and you're learning how to apply it to your life. Give him thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Father, we return this morning as one man, one voice to say thank you. We love you, we honor you, we glorify you, we praise you, we worship you, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for who we are in you. We thank you for the great plans that you have for each of our lives. And Lord, as your word goes forth, let it bring about healing this morning. Let it bring about transformation this morning. Let lives be transformed this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And to you alone be all the glory. Amen and amen. Well, happy Thanksgiving. And I know some of you have already cooked, or you're going to be cooking or traveling somewhere. I've already done my famous brownies, you know. I've got one with nuts and one without the nuts. But that's always my dessert contribution. So I always look. I think Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday. Not because of the food so much, but just the focus on family and friends, you know, and community and the camaraderie. Of course, you know, I love Christmas. It's our celebration of Christ's birth. But, you know, the world has put a whole other spin on that, right? So Christmas can have all these pressures. You know, if you're going by somebody, it's like, oh, what gift, and the gifts, and the gifts. And, you know, the meaning tends to be lost, except for those of us who stay mindful of what we're celebrating. But Thanksgiving is just about togetherness, you know. It's just about being thankful and celebrating and being together. And I love that. So we're going to pick up today with our teaching on seven steps to answered prayer. And in your workbooks, it's actually part two. And the workbook that we've been using is Bible Prayer Study Course by the late Kenneth E. Hagin. Bible Prayer Study Course by the late Kenneth E. Hagin. And there's also, he also has a teaching online. You can listen on YouTube, Seven Steps to Answered Prayer. It's also online there. But it's great to do the workbook because you get to see it, you know. So it's one thing to hear, but when you sit down and make the time to use the workbook and to go over the steps, it reinforces it. Because we want to, everything we do, we want to do it with understanding. If you have a testimony, just hit one on your keypad and we'll give you an opportunity to share. And a testimony is just simply tell us briefly what was the situation, what did you do, and what did God do. The scriptures that we have been looking at, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And along with verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So one of our anchor scriptures has been John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right, I'm going to come to you quickly. The last four digits of your number is 1058. Tell us your name, where you're calling in from, and share with us.
Good morning, Hazel. It's Vivia from Charlotte.
Good morning. Welcome.
My testimony. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you also, Hazel. I was speaking with Patsy this morning, and we were just giving Thanksgiving. Thanks for the call. Thanks for our lives, and thanks for so many things. You know, a while ago when we first started, we would write down. Do you remember when we were writing down all of the things that we were thankful for? And there's just not enough time in this program to write down all of the things to be thankful for. And this morning, a cousin came in from St. Thomas on a short layover, and we were able to spend some time with them last night. And they left early this morning. We got them out at about 4:30 and enough time to come back and pray.
Wow.
And it was just so good to be around family. And as Pat, after meeting with them and was on the call with Pat, we started talking about all of the things that we were thankful for. And mainly for this call also, not mainly, but for this call also, and for you. And we just lifted you up. Just thanking you for all that you have done for this program, that you have enlightened us so we can truly be doers of the word and not just hearers. So I thank for you. Mm-hmm. We're very, very thankful for you. And we're just thankful for all that God has done for us, all that he continues to do, and all that he will do by his word. So thank you, and then have a wonderful, wonderful day with your brownies.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Funny. Thank God. That's right. We give God thanks for it all. The next scripture is John 14:13-14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14 of John 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. In John 16:23-24, another anchor scripture we've been looking at as we've been going through the seven steps to answer prayer. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So those are the three anchor scriptures we've been looking at. Go over quickly the seven steps, and then we'll go to where we're going today. Today we're going to pick up with step 5 and 6. And so the seven steps to answered prayer are, 1, decide what you want from God and find the scripture or scriptures that definitely promise you these things, right? You have to find the word because that's what you're standing on. If God said it, then that's it, right? You don't have to pray if it's your will. We pray if it's your will when we're praying a prayer of consecration or dedication. Right? If it's your will has an appropriate place, and that is in the prayer of consecration or dedication. You know, you're dedicating back your life to Christ, or dedicating something, you know, dedicating your time, or consecrating yourself, you know, for some service. You know, perhaps you have a call in your spirit to move, to relocate, but you're not sure, and you can't find Atlanta in the Bible, right? You can't find Tokyo in the Bible. And so, Lord, if it's your will, I will go to Tokyo. If it's your will, I will go, because you don't know. But, so that's, you know, you're consecrating yourself, you're dedicating yourself, whatever it is, your assignment, whatever it is. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a missionary. You could be looking to relocate, you know, for a better job opportunity. You're just not sure which one. And so that's when we include if, but anything else, when we're praying the prayer of faith, when you're looking to change something or to receive something, there is no if in that. When you pray if, you then cancel the prayer, right? And so that's why step 1 is so critical, because you go into the word and you find the promises. Is this in the Bible? Has God promised me this? Then there is no need for if, because you have seen it, you know it's there, and that is what you're standing on. Got it? All right. Number 2, ask God for what you want. Right? We always ask God. Ask God for what you want. We've gone over these steps, and of course they're in the workbook as well as online. Number 3, and we ask God to get God involved. You know, God is not going to push himself on you. It's an act of humility, you know, to ask God for his help, you know, to ask him, Lord, this is in your word, and so I'm asking you, Lord, to guide me to it, lead me. You see, it's a way of inviting God into your situation, you see, and because we live in a world where, you know, there's always this tendency to push God out, right, to edge God out. So when you ask God, you know, it's an act of humility, because remember, we are in partnership with God. So whatever breakthrough, miracle, whatever it is you believe for, It's a partnership. You have your part to play. God's part has already been played. You see? So we are really in partnership with God. And too often we have thought that, you know, we just beg or cry and then it's supposed to just drop on us. But no, as you've studied and, you know, we keep getting more light, we realize that we have a part to play. And what's beautiful about these seven steps, it shows you the part that you have to play in order to have your prayers come into reality. So we ask God for what we want. It's our way, you know, it's to get God involved, to let God know I'm depending on you. You know, you matter to me. Number three, be positive in your thinking. Be positive in your thinking. We talked about that last week. Guard your mind. Number four, guard your mind. Those steps are very closely related, but yet they're different. And so as you review them in your workbook, you'll see the differences. But the whole thing is be positive in your thinking, guard your mind. You're going to guard your mind, and you guard it with the word of God because, you know, doubts will come to your mind, right? The moment a desire comes, the moment, you know, the Lord reveals to you, you know, a plan or puts a dream in your heart, a desire in your heart, doubt comes right along with it, right? The doubt is not from God. The doubt comes from the enemy, you know? And so that's why you have to, that's why that step one is so important, because when your eyes have seen it, your faith is strengthened. Because on the journey, right, very rare is it just a swift road to whatever, right? Oppositions come up, delays come up, things come up to make it look like it's not it. And if you allow doubt to get into your mind, you're going to drop it. And that's why you find oftentimes that some people, they've never completed anything. You see? If that's you, that will not be your story any longer in the name of Jesus. Because as you get inside here, you're going to do what thus says the Lord. You know, many people, they start this, they're excited about this, and they say, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then you don't hear any more about it. Right? They start something else. Whoa, you don't hear any more about it. Because why? The getting of the idea, it drops into their spirit, they're excited, but they have not developed the faith to see it through. You see? Develop the faith to see it through. Even, you know, ideas that the Lord has given you or shown you, because remember now how God works. He's not going to give you, you know, he shows you the vision. So that would get people excited. They see the possibility. But he doesn't, you know, show you every step along the way. When you take the first step, then the next step reveals as you go. You see? And you don't know the time of the journey. So you have to be guarding your mind. You have to be feeding on his word, spending quality time, meditating in his word daily. Because the word is what, you know, builds your faith and strengthens you so that you can pursue. You understand? So it's very, very important that you guard your mind. Because that's where the enemy is going to come to challenge you. And so a lot of people who don't finish things, who start things, but they drop it along the way. This is the very reason. You know, they have not done step one. You know, they've not done step one. And even if you do step two, asking God, okay, fine, so you ask God for the thing and, you know, you believe it's a good thing and God will give it to you. But you still need the word, because as you go along the journey, all kinds of things are going to come up. There are people who God has given them ideas, visions, plans, but they don't even start. They're the ones who start and don't finish. Then they're the ones who don't even start. You just keep hearing about this thing they're going to do, right? And that's simply because they too have not taken the time to find out what God has said and to feed on his word. You see, the more you feed on the word of God, faith grows in your heart. So that when opposition even comes from your own mind, right? When opposition comes even from your own self, you don't receive it. Immediately you snap back by with the word of God. And the other thing about the word, It empowers you to do whatever you have to do. That's the beautiful thing. Remember what he told Joshua in 1:8? Let not this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, being sure to do all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous. Not me, you, Joshua, will make your way prosperous. And you will have good success. God wants you successful. God wants you healthy. He wants you wealthy. He wants you wise. God gets glory, you know, in your being in divine health. God gets glory when you're prosperous. God gets glory. Don't you get glory when your children are doing well? Don't you feel good? What father, if an earthly father feels good when his children are doing well, how much more Almighty God who created us? You see? So God wants you at any age. People like to check out at certain ages too. Oh, I'm retired. And so they don't have a life. Abraham, his life didn't, his other life started at 75. Moses, who I'm sure thought that he was forgotten by God, his life started at 80. Who don't know about Moses, right? Who don't know about Abraham? You're under a rock if you don't. You see? So we have to fortify ourselves. So that brings us now to step number 5. Meditate on God's promises and prepare. Meditate on God's promises and prepare. Let's take a look now. Let's go to the book now, 7 Steps to Answered Prayer. This is part 2, chapter 2. And if you're following along with me, it'll be page 9. We're going to take a look now at step number 5. In chapter 1, I discussed 4 of the 7 steps to answered prayer. The 4 steps already covered are as decide what you want from God and find the scripture or scriptures that definitely promise you these things. Ask God for the things you want and believe that you receive them. Let every thought and desire affirm that you have what you ask for. Guard against every evil thought that comes into your mind to try to make you doubt God's word. Step number 5 now. Meditate on God's promises. Step number 5 to receiving answered prayer is meditate constantly on the promises upon which you base the answer to your prayer. In other words, you must see yourself in possession of what you've asked for and make plans accordingly it were already a reality. I love that. In other words, you must see yourself in possession of what you've asked for and make plans accordingly as if it were already a reality. That is the prepare. Remember I said step 5, meditate on God's promises and prepare, right? And so when you're truly imbibing the word of God, when you're truly imbibing the promises of God on that particular, you know, prayer request, you will be moved, the word itself, because of your meditation upon the word will move you into action. It will move you to begin to prepare. You understand? So you can't just say, oh, you know, you believe in God for this, but there's no action around it. Then you're deluding yourself. You see? You're deluding yourself. Because remember the Bible tells us in the book of James, faith without works is dead. You see? So you can't just be saying, oh, yeah, this, but then you're not doing anything about it. And oftentimes, the reason that's happening is because people are not spending enough time meditating upon what it is, looking at it, not just going from your memory now, actually making the time to see the scriptures, to see what God has said. And as you meditate upon that, the Holy Spirit will guide you into the appropriate actions that you're to take. So it's not a desperate running around. Right? Your every action is guided. Guided. Proverbs 4:20-22. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to them that find them, and health to all their flesh. God said, my son, attend to my words, Proverbs 4:20. God will make his word good in your life if you'll act on it. see that? If it's his healing you need, for instance, God's word says himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, Matthew 8:17. And with his stripes, we are healed, Isaiah 53:5. If you don't see yourself healed, then the word of God has departed from your eyes. So you have to see yourself with whatever you're believing God for. If it's health, you've got to see yourself healthy. If it's prosperity, you've got to see yourself prosperous. Right? If it's marriage, you've got to see yourself married. If it's, you know, completing your academic studies, you've got to see yourself at the graduation. You've got to see it. See yourself with your answer. When I was on the bed of sickness, before I even started walking again, I began to see myself well. I was in faith, so I began to make plans accordingly, according to my faith. You see, a lot of times, especially with sickness, and I know about it because I've walked through that, right? You know, after a while, you begin to see yourself that way. And if you're not careful, you start to make plans according to your sickness. You understand? And you start to accommodate it. But you must never accommodate anything you don't want, not poverty, not lack, sickness. You know, whatever, if there's anything in your life that's not in alignment with the word of God, you don't make room for it. You begin to envision, what would I be doing? What's my life? Oftentimes the thing has been there so long that you start to cower underneath it. You know, it doesn't allow you to raise your head to envision what's possible. And that's what keeps a lot of times people trapped in whatever the situation is. You know, whatever the situation is, it's not, you know, one of the promises of God. It's because after a while, it's been there. Sometimes it's been there so long, it becomes your identity. You know, people start to see you that way. They start to talk about you that way. You know, they think of you as sickly. They think of you as, you know, impoverished. They think of you as needy. They think, however it is, they see, and you, because why? You've accommodated it. They can't do it if you're not doing it. If you're not talking sickness, they won't have anything to talk about. If you're not talking lack, if you're not talking worries and shout, they won't. If you're talking, if you're praising God and always finding what to praise God for and looking forward and talking about your great plans, And spending the time feeding yourself on the word to take those great plans, that's how people begin to see you. Then they begin to say, oh, wow, you know, he's so strong. He's this. They don't have time to feel sorry or talk about you in a sorrowful way. Because why? That's not what you're putting out. That's not the consciousness you're living in. So that's not your consciousness. People can't see you that way. You know, let me tell you something. It's not easy. You know, when you preach this, you teach this, I live it. And that's the only reason why I preach it. I'm not preaching nothing. I ain't telling nobody nothing I ain't doing. You know what I'm saying? Really, I'll shut this down before I do that. I put my own self on the line. It's got to work for me, otherwise I'm not going to talk about it. But a lot of times people, you know, this can be a hard word because it can seem like you're not compassionate. And so we have to be compassionate. You know, so let's say somebody's walking through something, whatever the something is, that they're challenged by. We are compassionate. Don't get this twisted now. You're sensitive. You know, you extend your hand however you can help. Because depending on the level of understanding that they have, you can only come at them a certain way, you know. But either way, you've got to be, you know, embracing them while you're leading them and strengthen them and pointing them in this way. Because if they insist on using their mouth to talk the other situation and you are accommodating it, then you're an accomplice to the crime. You're an accomplice to the suffering. You see? And we don't want that. We don't want that. So let's look at this again. See yourself with the answer. He said, when I was on the bed of sickness, before I even started walking again, I began to see myself well. I was in faith. So I began to make plans accordingly, according to my faith. Up until then, I had seen myself dead. For a long time, I had even pictured my funeral, imagine that, and everything that went with it. I had envisioned the open grave and the cemetery. But as the light of God's word came, I began to see myself alive and well and serving God. I began to make plans according to my faith because I believed I had received my healing. Remember now, when you ask, believe that you received. That's Mark 11:24. So he was believing he had received it. Didn't have any evidence of it yet, but I believe I received. I had my mama get me a pencil and a tablet, and I began to write down sermons because I wanted to preach. I was acting in faith. I never did preach but one of those sermons, and I still have that one sermon today. One day, the doctor came in. So you see, he wanted to preach, so what did he do? Started taking action. Asked mom, get me a pen, get me a pad, a pencil, and so he was starting to write in preparation for the vision. Now, he's still in bed paralyzed, but he's preparing for the vision. You see how faith works? Continue. One day, the doctor came in while I had all my notes and my Bible out on the bed. He told me I shouldn't read only the Bible all the time. When he asked me if I ever read comics, a newspaper, or anything like that, I told him that I never had time. He asked me if I ever read books, and I told him that I never had time. I know that doctor thought that I was a nut because I read the Bible all the time. He thought I was going to lose my mind by constantly reading the Bible. But no one loses his mind by reading the Bible. Reading the Bible will restore your mind and will uplift and refresh your spirit. Years ago, on the fly leaf of my Bible, I wrote in red ink, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. I'm not interested, he says, in what this or that church believes. I'm interested in what the Bible says. Interested in church creeds or church doctrines. I'm interested in what the Bible says. If God's word says he hears and answers prayer, and if that word doesn't depart from before my eyes, then you, from before your eyes, then you're bound to see yourself with the things you've asked for. If you don't see yourself with the things you desire, then God's word has departed from your eyes. If you don't stand by the word, although God wants to stand by you, he can't. Because the only way God works is through his word. Remember, God only works and moves in line with his word. He has bound himself by his word. He has magnified his word above his name. Psalm 138, verse 2. If you stand by the word, God will stand by you and will make his word good in your life. But if you don't stand on God's word, then he has nothing to make good in your life. Many folks pray and pray and pray, but they don't pray according to the word. But John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Jesus didn't just say, if you abide in me, you shall ask what you will. He also said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will, and it shall be done unto you. With God's word abiding in us, we have a good foundation to stand upon, John 15:7. Once I was holding a meeting in Fort Worth, Texas, in a full gospel church. I was staying in the parsonage. And one day, the pastor asked me to go with him to see an elderly lady evangelist under whose ministry he had been saved. This woman was 82 years old. She had been operated on, and the doctors had found 7 cancers in her. But the doctors just sewed her back up and didn't touch them. And they told her that she would probably die soon. Months had come and gone, but she was still alive, although bedfast. When we got there, she insisted that she was old enough to die, but we told her to let God heal her first. The minister told her that if she lived, she could still win many souls to God because so many had been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit under her ministry. We read Proverbs 4:20-22 to her and told her to begin to see herself well and up preaching. That was in September. And the next May, when I was back for a meeting in this minister's church again, he told me this woman had received her healing. He told me that the night I would be beginning my revival in his church, this lady evangelist was closing a two-week revival meeting. She had phoned and said she would be in my meeting on Tuesday night. When she came on Tuesday evening, I didn't recognize her. She came up to me and just threw her arms around me and hugged me. It startled me. And then she said, "You probably don't recognize me." I told her I didn't. She looked so different because she had gained weight and she looked younger than her age. Then she explained who she was and that she was so glad we hadn't let her die. She had done just what we had told her to. She began to see herself well, and she received her healing. She said she had the entire summer booked up with meetings. I later heard that she lived to be 91. So you see, she lived several years and didn't die from cancer. In 1943, when I was pastoring a church in Texas, one of the older women in the church had cancer of the stomach. The doctors had sent her home to die. She was 83 years old and felt it was time for her to die. I told her not to die sick and diseased. You hear that? I told her not to die sick and diseased. I told her to let God heal her and then die if she wanted to. Prayed with her that she wouldn't die sick. I asked the Lord to help her get back her confidence in divine healing. I asked the Lord to help her get back her confidence in divine healing. I went back to visit her again, but she was still wanting to die. This woman finally decided she would attend the healing services we were having. She came for about a week or two, but nothing happened because she was talking doubt and unbelief. She had a big growth that had eaten out her stomach and was eating out her back. One night, I perceived that she was going to be healed. So I spoke to her and told her that I'd had a mini vision that she was going to be healed. I told her that within 10 minutes, she would be out of her chair and dancing. When I anointed her with oil and prayed for her, she came out of that chair and began dancing. She was completely healed. She later testified in church about her complete healing. She said she had ridden the bus to church that evening. She said she had ridden the bus to church the evening she received her healing. And on the way home, she had testified to others on the bus. 9 years later, when she was 92, we stopped by to see her, but she was out visiting. We asked about her and were told that she had been to her doctor for a checkup. And the doctor said that she was still in perfect health. He couldn't find a single thing wrong with her. I was so glad I didn't let her die. Now, these two women had similar stories. They had begun to see themselves dead. We had to get them to see themselves with what God had provided for them. You have to see yourself with what you've asked for. That's step five. You got it? Now, this part where he talks about, I always love this piece where, you know, the doctor says to him, you don't read anything else? I don't have time. What about the comics? I don't have time. What about, you know, we could even say nowadays, what about television? I don't have time. I am so amazed and a bit flabbergasted when you visit people in the hospital and they got the TV on. In fact, that's the first thing that the family does. Get the TV, get the phone. I understand the phone. I understand the TV if you're going to have it on something like, let's say, TBN, you know, a Christian channel. You know what? I don't understand. You go to see Christians, and they got the TV on the news. You know, that immediately tells me something. I kid you not. I went to see a woman, and she really said, "Wait, go to my church. You know how they teach us over there." And I went to see her, and I'm waiting for her to come down because, you know, she'd been through some challenges, but, you know, she could come down the steps. So I was sitting. You know what the first thing she did when she came down? She put on the TV and started talking to me about Trump. Could you imagine? So I wasn't surprised the next time I heard that she had a relapse. I really wasn't surprised. of course, I prayed with her when I was there. You know, you pray with people, you know, share with them, tell her, hey, you know, you need to read some books of Hagen and go on online and listen to some of Hagen's. Oh, I don't understand it. Christians, man, they're going through challenges. But they can tell you they got time to watch the cooking show. Excuse me? You know what it is, though. I understand it. You know what it is? People lack understanding, and that's why, you know, God has us here to teach. People lack understanding, and so what people tend to do is these other things, television and this and that and books of other sorts and this kind of thing, they want to take their mind off of the problem. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like happy hour. Remember when you used to go to happy hour? You know, two drinks for a dollar, right? It's, what do they do? They're just looking to take their minds off of things. They're running here and they're running there. Some people, they always hear, oh, they're going here. What do you think they do? They're looking to take their mind off of the thing. Meanwhile, when you come back, the thing is still there, if not bigger. But he said, you got to catch this. If you don't catch nothing else in that prayer, and this is step number five. He was in the Word. He said to the doctor, I don't have time. I don't have time. And most of us don't have time for nothing else. You really, when you're up to something big in life, I don't have time for nothing else. My time is very limited because a lot of my time is in the Word because God has big plans for me. What about you? God has very big plans for my life. So I don't have time to be, you know, watching TV. I don't have time. God has a television show for me. I ain't got time to be watching TV. Do you understand? And it's the same with you. People want their healing. They want this. They want these things to change. But they don't have time to be feeding on the very book that is going to empower them to get it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, they think of the Bible as a religious book. And because many people are too lazy to get into other translations, they just read the King James. Because the King James makes you think, oh, I've read the Bible. Now, there are some scriptures, you can't read it to me no place else but the King James. Because, you know, I want to hear Psalm 91 from the King James, Psalm 23, and other things, you know, I got to hear the King James. But when I'm meditating and studying, or if God has shown me something and I want to go deeper, I've got other translations. There are several other translations I look into. And so you've got to make time to feed. You see, what happens is you get to a certain point. When you've fed on it enough, it begins to saturate your spirit, man. And you can't think no other way. You can't even act no other way because you're so saturated with the Word. We're not talking religion. We're not talking about reading the Bible to beat people over the head. We're talking about meditating upon God's word so that you get a shift, your consciousness changes. That deeper part of you, your spirit man is built up and he's strengthened because you're feeding him the word. And so faith grows. So I'm fascinated when people are facing challenges, you know, or going through whatever, and they can tell you about TV shows and they could, I'm fascinated. I'm just fascinated. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, but that shall not be you under the sound of my voice. So you've got to make time to meditate the word. That's what he was saying to the doctor. I don't have time. Are you reading? I don't have time. You're reading the funny. I don't have time. He could have been saying if he was able to move, well, what about you? Don't you hang out with your friends? Don't get me wrong. We do have, you know, times of socializing, and we need that, right, to connect with people, but not at the expense of your word. How much time are you spending in the word, and is it going in you, or are you just doing it to say, I did it? You know, people like to read those little devotionals. Those devotionals are great. I give them out. The ministry gives them out all the time, you know, faith to faith, you know. Some of you have other ones that you like. Praise the Lord. But, you know, people get so excited about these devotionals. That's beautiful. But you know why you're excited? Because the people who are writing them spent time in the Word to give you a word. Don't you realize that if you spent time in the Word, you could have a word for yourself and for others? Come on now. All right, let's blow through step number six because it's short. Step number six. And then, of course, and then the other thing about this step that we talked about is the prepare part. You saw how those, now, this other lady, this last one here, who got healed when he laid hands on her. That's the gift, one of the gifts of the Spirit, right? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, singular. One of the gifts of the Spirit. And the Bible says, that, you know, as he will.
So you may be in a meeting, or, you know, someone may have one of the gifts of healing, and your faith is right, and they're there, and they may lay hands on you, and you recover. But you must be taught and get understanding, because even if it comes that way, you have to be able to hold on to it. You have to be able to hold on to it. And when you study deeper, and you look into it, you study more of his work here, Hagen's work, along with your Bible, of course, you will understand that it's important for you to be able to meditate on God's word and get what you need for yourself. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. You see, and that's why he always taught the word and preached the word, because sometimes that healing anointing may not be there, or whatever it is you're looking for, the miracle. You notice how it says the working of miracles? One of the gifts of the Spirit is the working of miracles. You got to work the miracle. And the miracle is worked with the word. Every now and then, depending on the movement of the Spirit, boom, something may happen just like that. Praise the Lord. But even when it happens just like that, if the person does not stay in the word and doesn't have understanding, oftentimes they lose it. And that's why you hear people have lost their healing, or they've lost their whatever, their marriages are lost, or their this is lost. They were succeeding because they, you see, the thing about success that happens, that's why he says good success. Because success will have you to think, oh, you don't need God. Or you have not, you see, because when you were broke and suffering, you had plenty of time to study the word. But when you're successful and busy, oh, now you ain't got time. You see, and before you know it, the thing is gone. That shall not be you. Why? Because you're getting understanding this morning. Amen? Amen. Now, let's look at step number 6. Continually thank God for the answer. Wow. I wanted to get to this step because it's right on time with Thanksgiving. But remember now, our Thanksgiving is not just once a year. We're thanking God daily. So let's look at step number 6. Continually thank God for the answer. Step number 6 to receive answered prayer is in your every waking moment. Think on the greatness of God and his goodness and count your blessings. This will increase your faith. Lift your heart to God continually in increasing praise and gratitude for what he has done and for what he is doing for you now. So you may not even have seen, you don't even see the thing, but you're thanking him. You're thanking him for what he's done, because he's done things for you in the past. You're thanking him for what he will do. You're thanking him that you have the blessing. You're thanking him. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Phrase, be careful for nothing, means in nothing be anxious. It also means do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. That's the Amplified version, Philippians 4:6, Amplified. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Now, you see what I'm saying? If somebody just read this in the King James, be careful for nothing, that means, that's kind of blind to us. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Because careful means a different kind of thing to us. So if all a person did was read that, they won't get it. But if they read, let's say, the Amplified or even the New Living Translation or the New International Version, and let's look in let's say the Amplified, then they would get, it would break down even further. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Well, we understand that, right? As long as you fret and have anxiety, all the praying and fasting in the world isn't going to do any good. And 99% of the time, 99.99% of the time, this is me, Hazel, talking now, when people have anxiety, right, because everybody, you know, the culture, the fear, the this, the anxious about this, anxiety is served on a daily, you know, it's a buffet in the world. And it can creep in on you if you allow it. All you got to do is start looking at your circumstances, right? Take your eyes off of God and start looking at the negative circumstances. 99.99% of the time, when people are experiencing anxiety, it's because they have less time in the Word and they have more of their mind on the problem. It's as simple as that. You can do a poll. You can run a poll on it. That's where their mind is. In their mind, either they don't know to be in the Word enough, right? But their mind is on what could happen. And I don't know if you guys have lived a little long enough to know. Have you noticed that something's always happening in this life? Have you noticed that? And because news can come to us from so many different sources in so many different ways, you know, whether you want to see it or not, you open your phone and it pops up. You know, oh, this one was killed, this is happening here. You know, so there's always something to keep you on the edge and, you know, in a negative way, restless and anxious and fearful. The enemy is serving fear more than ever. So when people don't take time to pull away on a daily basis and shut themselves in with the word, doesn't have to be long. You could do 10 minutes if that's the level you're on. It will grow. But the whole thing is to be consistent. It's not doing it today and not doing it tomorrow. You understand? And so when you're consistent, that's when you see results. Anxiety cannot overcome you when you are in the word. It's just not possible. Anytime I find myself feeling anxious, my mind is off. Because it comes to everybody. The temptation is there for all of us. But man, But the minute you go back to the word, and let's say you're not in a place where you can, maybe the time is not right, you can't go sit down and lock yourself in, you're out in the world, you just start to remember the word that you've planted in your heart, or you start to praise God or sing God, it goes. But the more you feed on it, the more you look at it, the more you talk about it, it grows. But thank God we know the way out. Step number 6 to receiving answered prayers in your every waking moment, think on the greatness of God and his goodness. Count your blessings. This will increase your faith. Lift your heart to God continually in increasing praise and gratitude for what he has done and for what he is doing for you now. Now, the rest of Philippians 4:6 says, with thanksgiving. When you pray and make your request known to God, then you must thank him for the answer. We are to pray with thanksgiving. So you don't see the answer yet, right? But you're thanking God for it. He says here, we were preaching in Overton, Texas some years ago, and we were invited for dinner at the home of one of the families in the church. The woman told us that she had asthma and had been sent to a specialist. The specialist told her that it was the worst case of asthma he had ever seen. She had found some relief, but not much. She had just about everyone who had a healing ministry pray for her, but nothing had happened. See that? She went, you know, and I understand that. You know, this one's got a healing ministry. Lay hands on me. One time she went to Raymond T. Ritchie's revival, which was being held in that area. She was in the healing line, and he told her to start praising God from that moment on that she was healed. She told him that she wasn't healed. Richie told her to thank God for the word and to say, the word says, I am healed. So she began to do that. And soon she got so taken up with praising God that she didn't even know when all the asthma attacks left her. When she related this, it had been more than 14 years since she had had any symptoms. The scripture says, do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Anything means anything. Therefore, you can let your request be known with thanksgiving because you know God is going to hear you. When I come across situations, he says, which seem impossible, I just say that all things are possible to him that believes. Mark 9:23, and that I am a believer. Sometimes the devil will tempt me with thoughts that try to hinder my belief, but I have the word to stand on. And because God's word is true, I thank God for my answer before I ever see it come to pass. You see that? Amen and amen. Step number 5 and 6, answered prayer, is what we have just been discussing and reviewing. To God be all the glory. So you see how it's worked? Now what you want to do is write these steps out and keep them someplace you're going to be able to look at them on a regular. You know, maybe in your wallet or someplace on your phone, and just train yourself to look at these steps until you have them, you understand them. Because what we want is to not just assume we know how to pray. You know, many times we just, oh, let's pray. But do we understand what we're praying, how to pray the prayer of faith? Most times you're praying with somebody, it's to change something, right? You know, they need a breakthrough on their job or healing or the children or their marriage or their lives or, you know, peace, inner peace, whatever it is, right? We must know these steps so that you can check and see. And then you share the steps with the person. You know, it'd be good to write it down and leave it with somebody. Say, okay, now follow these steps. Because the temptation is, if the person, you know, they're not on this call and they're not getting this understanding, you want to share with them these books. You know, tell them about Kennedy Hagin's book and, you know, tell them, share it. Some of you, you've been coming here for years. You ain't told nobody nothing. Ain't nobody been saved by, you know, by you. God ain't used you to save them. But you're coming. What you coming for then? Come on. We have to bear fruit, right? You know what I'm saying? We got to bear fruit. Bear fruit. And you bear fruit by sharing. You see, when as you share what you have, it multiplies. It multiplies. God is amazing. And so you want to be able to show somebody these steps so that when you agreed on the prayer and it's done, they don't go back praying it again. Because the tendency is to do just like we've read here. We, you know, the flesh, right? It happens to all of us. Oh, pray with me. This will pray with me. But, you know, after you've prayed it solidly and you know you've prayed it, now it's, hey, could you pray with me about this? Now you're shifting gears into praise and thanksgiving. And that's what we're going to look at next week. It's going to be the declaration. Every prayer now becomes a declaration. You are now declaring that you've got it. You're not asking anymore. You've done all that. But it's very valuable if we can see the steps and begin to train ourselves by these steps, because then we'll stay more in line. Got it? Amen. All right, let's just pass the offering now. Hallelujah. One moment.
If this ministry is a blessing to you, become our partner. Visit HazelGoodmanMinistries.com and sow your love offering. You will be richly blessed. Jesus is Lord.
You know, I was so blessed the other day. I guess this is a testimony I forgot to give. And, you know, I was thinking of one of the prisoners. In particular, I was praising God. And one of the prisoners, it wasn't my time to go up there. But this particular prisoner just came up in my spirit so strong. And the coming up in my spirit to take her a care package for Thanksgiving, you know, to do some shopping and to take to her. And, you know, we one of the things we're able to do, you know, through the gifts that we receive here is monthly, you know, we give to you know, a couple of the prisoners as we're able to. We certainly take them the word, and then, you know, they're able to give them, you know, financially as well. Because they're things that, you know, you need it, and when you're quote-unquote poor in prison, it can be a little bit of a challenge. So anyhow, but the Lord was just on my mind. He was on my mind. And I was telling myself, oh, I can't go because it's a busy week, and, you know, this is not that scheduled because I just saw her last week. But, man, I tell you, and I sat down after I did my praise and worship time, I sat down to go into my Bible study now, you know, my meditation time in the Word. And so I had that time. Do you know, next thing I know, I had just closed the Bible, jumped up. Man, talk about being driven by the Spirit. I just closed the Bible, jumped up, jumped in the shower, got dressed. I mean, I ran into the city, went to Trader Joe's, and I was just getting this. Okay, I was being driven by the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And I bought all these groceries and this and that and this and that. I got the meat, got the this. And, you know, when you're getting stuff for prisoners, it's not everything they can have. Their stuff has to be hermetically sealed. If you're going to get meats or anything like that, you can't just present things. Everything has to be hermetically sealed. But praise God, you know, some of the stores, you know, have that. So anyway, I got all the stuff. Got up there. Let me tell you, got up there just in time. When I got up there and gave the packages in, the guy just closed his window after me. I was the last person. And so, because the visiting hours ended a certain time, but God was working with me, man. And I wasn't in no panic. I was just, because I knew I was on an assignment from God. So that everything had to stop and slow down for me. You understand? So, and then I went upstairs to see her and went to see her and also left a few dollars for her so that she could shop for anything extra that she might need. Because what was coming up in my spirit you know, when it's Thanksgiving, a lot of people, you'd be surprised, prison is an interesting place, but people, you know, send packages or bring packages for their loved ones. And this particular one, oh, she's such an amazing soul. I don't want to think about it too much. She's been in there 23 years, you know? And her mother comes to see her. Her mother is older now and moved away. Her father died while she was in there. And she has these sisters that don't really do much. They don't really hardly do anything, really. But she never complains, you know? We've been feeding her the word since 2014. She gave her life to Christ. And she's just such a beautiful soul. Anyhow, so I went into the visitor's room and she came out. And I said, listen, I said, I don't even know, but I wanted to hear what was happening with her. Because the way I was being driven, I knew something was going on. And she said, I said, girl, I came and I brought you this and I brought you that. And her face just lit up. She started to cry. We take so much for granted, you know. We're out here. We can do whatever we want. We take so much for granted. And she just started to cry. And I said, girl, I was saying my prayers, and I didn't plan on coming up here today. I said, and I just had to drop everything and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she told me what was going on. She said, you know, I told God, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. Because where she is in the prison, they've moved her to they have an honor building. If you got to go, you got to go. I'm just sharing now. They moved her to an honor building, right? And they have just, it's almost like low security in there. And it's kind of like the next best thing to being close to home. And so she has been moved there about a year ago now. And so, but the women are pretty privileged there, you know. They have this and they have families to take care of them and all of that. And she wanted so desperately to be able to contribute to the Thanksgiving meal and not be dependent, you know. And they have a refrigerator. In this particular place, they have a refrigerator. And everybody has what their shelves are, their portion of the refrigerator. And so other women kept saying to her, because they had gotten packages, well, can I use this space? Because you don't really get packages. You don't really get packages. You don't really get, you know what I'm saying? And so she kept saying, no, this is, I'm going to use this. I'm keeping this. No. She was just believing God. And a sister, one of the sisters, was supposed to be coming with a package. And what happened? The sister was coming from up north, and the weather got terrible, so the sister ended up having to turn back. You see why God was driving me? The sister had to turn back. And one of the women who was going to be in charge of putting the dinner together, she said to my girl, she said, well, you know, I'm going to have a chicken, and I'm going to have a pheasant, and can you bring a ham? And so by faith, she said yes. Not knowing where it was coming from, just said yes. And she said, you know, she said, hey, God, I went to the bathroom and I wanted to cry. She said, but I said, no, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And one of the things that was just, I was just obsessed about getting for her was a ham. And so I was able to get like a half a ham, you know, really nice size. I don't eat ham. You know, my natural instinct is not that. But I was just impressed to just get this thing. And so everything, and so when I was telling her all the various things I brought, she was just lit up, man. She was just lit up. And I just saw God, how he was working. There was somebody praying and in need. Here was I being driven. Be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. God will oftentimes be telling you to do something, to go somewhere, to help, to give, to do, and you will resist it. You will let it, if I had allowed the reasoning mind to get involved, there's no way she would have seen me because my plate was too full, especially this week. There's no way. But because my desire is to be obedient to God and to be a vessel for his leading, I just dropped everything and went. And oh my God. You know, there's a scripture that says our giving results in thanksgiving to God. When you take your time and you give your time, your efforts, your resources, your finances to help others, it results in them saying, thank God. It results in blessings to you and in them saying, thank God, thank God. And so I give God thanks for those of you who, you know, don't just come and listen, but those of you who contribute to this ministry. You're in partnership with us. We want to thank God for you because you made that day possible. You understand? You made it possible. You make it possible for those who are coming here to hear. You know, we pay for to be on Blog Talk. Huh? We take resources to the prisoners. You understand? We take the word just to go and carry the word cost. And so to those of you who are partners with us, we give God thanks for you. We give God thanks for you. We give God thanks because you helped a prisoner. You helped her. You helped her heart to be filled with joy that she's not in shame today. She can contribute. And we give God thanks for those of you who help. We love you. God bless you. And so as you go now, know that God's Holy Spirit is going before you, making safe, joyful, and successful your way. Know that you are not alone. Know that God is with you. It's a busy day. It's a season time. But make time even today to be with the Lord in his word. You understand? Make time to be with the Lord in his word so that every good thing God has for you, there's a table that's already set with divine healing, with prosperity, with all the desires of your heart, your children, everything that you're desiring, God has already prepared for it. He's already planned it. It's already done. But it's your faith. It's by faith that it becomes a reality in your life. It's by faith that your healing will manifest. It's by faith that your children will be mighty upon the earth. It's by faith. It's by faith. Whatever you're believing for, it's by faith. Take your eyes off of the world and put your eyes more in his word. And that is what will bring about the transformation you're desiring. I love you. God bless you. Enjoy your family today. Enjoy your friends, you know, and be a blessing. Be a blessing wherever you are. God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm born to win. I'm born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Are you born to win? Hey, yeah. Are you born to reign in life? You are no ordinary person. You are destined for greatness. Oh, help me say, I'm saved.
Born to win.
Born to reign, say.
Born to reign in life.
I am no ordinary
person.
Whoa.
I'm dancing for
faith. Sing it like you believe it.
Born to win.
Born to reign.
Born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm dancing for greatness.
Circumstances may come to challenge me. Situations may come just to end me. But when they turn me to the left and right, they realize that I am the light. When my brothers look at me and despise me, when my sisters stand to mock and reject me, they'll be surprised that I'm standing strong. And I tell them, look, it won't be long, cause I'm born to win. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I am no ordinary, ordinary person. No, no. Sing it like you mean to say. Ooh, na na na, whoa, yo.
Born to reign in life.
I'm no ordinary.